Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message. I am Teresa Levite, a member of Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. Our message today is brought to you by Brother Mike Moore, Senior Pastor of Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton.
Last week, we started a sermon series that I've kind of titled, You Matter to God. And last week I asked the question, if you had someone in your life who mattered to you more than anybody, somebody you would climb the highest mountain, swim the deepest sea, wrestle grizzly bears and fight with the sharks for, I think some of you went, I don't know if I'd go that far. But the purpose last week was that this person you would do anything for, and that's how God feels about us. We matter to Him. And as much as we feel towards that special person in our life, and I think immediately comes to my mind my feelings I have for my wife, and hopefully the feelings she has for me, this is you're supposed to say, those feelings pale in comparison to how He feels about us, so much that He does so many things for us. Last week we talked that, you know, that He cares so much about us, He makes a place for us within this body of believers, that we have a function to play, a role to play, if you will. But we matter to Him. This illustration, I was looking around on the internet, and I go to clip art and find a lot of these images, and this one really struck me that this is how much we matter to God, that He was willing to send Jesus Christ to die for us when we were in the depths of our sin. But He did this so that He could restore a relationship with us. And that relationship was broken in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned. And ever since then, God's been trying to bring us back, if you will. And because God is holy, and we in our sin are not holy, there had to be a perfect sacrifice. Somebody had to pay the price for us in order to make us holy. We are holy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through His body that was sacrificed. And that's what we celebrate every time we have communion. We celebrate that. So when it comes to that special someone in our lives, how did you get to know them? Ponder on that for a minute. How did you get to know them? Maybe it was quiet conversations about things that you have in common. Maybe it was time that you spent together sharing your hopes and your dreams. Maybe you were just spending time together making plans. Going to build a house. Going to live in Florida where it's cold, where it's warm, where there's no snow. You know, we're going to be millionaires. We're going to have everything. Maybe you're making plans. Maybe it's just you get to know them by spending quiet time with them, just being in their presence. Maybe you're talking things over, sharing your experiences, sharing your ideas on the things to come. But in this form of communication, it's a two-way street. I talk, Teresa listens. Teresa talks, I listen. And there's this exchange of information. And that communication is a two-way street, and it should be, ideally, it's an open communication, it's an honest communication, it's a sincere communication. So as we continue this installment, if you will, we're going to look at another way that we can grow in Christ, that we can improve our relationship with God, and in turn, I think when this relationship is in order, when this relationship is functioning well, these relationships that we have with each other will function just as well. So I want to get into today's topic about talking with God. And I think our conversations that we have with God are critical, are vital to transforming us. We talked a couple weeks ago about the transformational process that takes place when we're renewed, when our minds are renewed. this praying, this talking with God is essential to us being rooted and grounded in His love. This communication that we have with God is essential to grace flowing from Him through us to people around us. And if you can't see the reference, it's to Psalms 66, 1 through 20. I apologize, it got cut off when we transitioned it over. Sir, prayer is essential. Communication with God is essential to our spiritual health and our spiritual well-being. And this is something that God gave us. He gave us a way to talk with Him. You see, in the garden, God walked and talked with Adam and Eve, just like you and I walk up and down the hallway here in church. Or you walk in the park with your wife or your husband, or you walk in the park with your kids. That's the way it was before we fell. So there was that communication that Adam and Eve had with God that was intimate. It was personal, and it went back and forth. Now, we don't have any records in Scripture of what Adam and Eve and God talked about. Kind of nice to be interesting to hear what they may have said with each other. But the idea is this communication goes both ways. We talk with God, it goes up, and it comes back down. We pray, God answers. And a question that I'm going to get into in a few more minutes is, are we listening to Him? Do we listen to what God's trying to tell us? But I think far too many times, as believers, and really sincere believers, it's a one-way channel. It's like, get my phone out. Hello, God, this is Mike. I need this. I want that. I need this. Oh, by the way, so-and-so's sick with this. See you later, God. Bye. Click. And we hang up. We say, amen. And then we expect God to do something because we tacked on. Oh, in Jesus' name. Lord, I said in your name. I said this prayer in your name. But are we taking the time to listen? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and the conversation was totally one-sided? Blah, 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 blah. They went on and on and on and on and on. And he wanted to go like, wait a minute, time out. I want to talk. Ain't happening. Ah-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's a one-sided conversation. I wonder how many times God feels that way with us when we're praying. When we're talking with God, we just rattle off this list of things. I want this, we need that, the church needs this, my brother-in-law is sick, on and on and on and on. And then we go, see you later, God, bye. Click, we hang up the phone on him, and God doesn't have a chance to tell us, to speak to us while we pray. Now, I don't know if you all have ever heard God speak when he goes, taps you on the shoulder and goes, Bud, this. Cindy, do that. Lewis, pay attention, man. I'm going to teach you something here. I don't know if we are tuned in enough to God that we hear his voice. Kind of like Paul was on the Damascus Road. Lights, blinding lights, thunder from the sky. I think that'd get your attention. Got Paul's attention. I don't think we have those God moments anymore. Not that God's not capable of doing it, but I just don't know if we would get it. If God got our attention that way. We know that God hears our prayers, to be sure. I mean, Scripture is just full of places where we know that God listens. And I've got my favorites, and I'm sure you do, but I want to share one of my favorites. And it was the verses out of Psalm 66, 17 through 20. And I think this is out of the Contemporary English Version. So it may read a little bit different than the NIV or the New American Standard, whatever you have. And it says, I prayed to the Lord and I praised him. If my thoughts had been sinful, he would have refused to hear me, but God did listen and he answered my prayer. And then let's praise him because he listened when I prayed and he is kind. So pause, pray. Father, as we pray to you right now in this service, show us where our thoughts are sinful. Show us where we've behaved unkindly. Show us where we have fallen short in how we treat one another. And as we set those things aside, Father, let them not hinder our prayers. Because we know, Father, when we have those things inside us, you refuse to hear. Because it says so right here in your... And Father, as you listen to us, we know that you will answer and you will respond. And as you respond, Father, when you change us, when you show us where we need to be and what we need to do, let us praise you, Father, for the change that you've made in our hearts. For it is in Christ's name. Can pray these things. I don't know where your prayer life is, okay? That's something between you and him. He knows where your prayer life is. Mine's never what, number one, what it should be, according to Scripture. It's never what I think it should be because I am my worst critic. You can tell me you don't like something, and chances are I will have already told myself, you know what, I don't like it either. So, when God says to us, I set this form of communication up. I gave you this thing called prayer so that we can talk, so that I can share with you just how much I love you and just how much I have things for you to do. I have a pattern I want you to follow in life, a way that I want you to behave. So we're going to look at a few things in our time that we have together that will help us to improve our prayer life. And that's one of the things that has motivated me to do the Sunday night prayer, just a time of devotional. It's going to be real informal. Maybe sing a couple of hymns out of the book, out of the hymnals. Share a short devotional on prayer, and then we're going to pray over the needs of the congregation. Simple, informal. If you can make it, great. If you can't, and you got something you need prayer on, you want us to lift up in prayer, jot it down on a piece of paper and hand it to me as y'all go out the door. We're going to talk, the first part of it is praying together. And these two verses are, one's from Acts and the other one's from Colossians, and they both illustrate the church coming together, entire congregations or groups within the congregation coming together to pray corporately for a need. Acts 6:4 says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now to put this in the right context, this was when the church chose the deacons. And the first church chose the deacons who would serve the church. And I'm going to expand this a little bit. I'm going to say that this applies to all of us, because all of us are called to serve in God's church in one form or another. So if you think I've taken this out of context, I apologize that you think that way. But I'm expanding this to say that all of us need to be devoting ourselves to prayer. And Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, saying as he was wrapping up his letter to them, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly in prayer. That means perseverance. It's like a marathon runner. Marathon's like 28 miles long. Not that we're going to pray for 28 miles. Can you imagine writing out a prayer 28 miles long? But the idea is to continue steadfastly, not just a day, not just one or two Sundays a month, but to continue steadfastly, to make it a habit. And then he goes on and explains to them to be watchful in it, to be mindful that you continue in prayer, to be mindful that you're focused on him and not yourself, not your own desires and needs, but to be focused on him and to be thankful. Thankful for your blessings. Thankful that this God we have in heaven that is outside of the heavens has made a way for us to communicate with him intimately and personally. You know, you cannot pick up your telephone and dial 1-800-WHITE-HOUSE and expect Donald Trump to answer. You probably can't even dial 1-800-SPRINGFIELD-ILLINOIS and expect the governor to answer. You probably have better luck calling the mayor's office in Tilton and going, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? But my point is, prayer. We have a conversation with the God of the universe that fast. God is as close as our prayers. Anything worthwhile that we do, anything worthwhile that Central Park Christian Church of Christ wants to do, worthwhile for the kingdom, anything that we want to do that we expect to bear fruit needs to be bathed in prayer. You know how you take somebody and you dunk them in the baptismal and you get them all wet? That's what we need to be doing. Consider that baptism a pool of prayer. Anything that we do, trunk or treat, Thanksgiving dinner, any outreach we do needs to be buried, immersed, bathed in prayer, or else it's not going to bear any fruit. It's not going to change our hearts to get in the mode to serve, because I've seen the list going around of how few tables we have for trunk. Did you pray about it? Or did you go, well, That's for them. And I know you've all got family commitments. Halloween's a time when you want to spend time with your kids and your grandkids and celebrate with them. I get that. But even if you can't show up, are you praying about it? Are you praying that this event will bear fruit? That's what I'm saying. And it does, just pick something off the calendar, the church calendar, or something that we are trying to do. Pray about it and pray about it and pray about it and continue steadfastly in prayer. The focus should be on prayer. As I said earlier when I was making the announcements, that Jesus says that his house should be a house of prayer. And if you want to turn with me to Mark chapter 11, verse 17. And this is when Jesus was cleaning out the temple. And I've got the New King James here. And then he taught, saying to them, and these are the people in the temple, Jesus said to them, "Is it not written that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations?" And he said this to the Jews, that God's house was going to be a house of prayer for all nations, for not just Jews, but for Gentiles as well, for non-believers. Now, I'm going to build a bridge here real quick. I want you to turn back to Isaiah 56, verse 7. And if you want to write these down on the back of your bulletin, it says in chapter 56 of Isaiah, verse 7, and this is God speaking to Isaiah 700 odd years before Christ came on the scene. It says, "Even them I will bring to my holy mountain," and he's talking about the Gentiles, "and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for Jews, for Church of Christ members, for just the Catholics? No, for all nations." And I'm going to tell you, there are tons more examples throughout Scripture where the church is called upon to pray corporately. And when the church does, things happen. Acts 12 comes to mind, where Peter was locked up and the church prayed. And what happened? How many of y'all know that story? When Peter was in prison and the church prayed, there was an earthquake. When was the last time there was an earthquake when you prayed? Ain't never happened to me. But it can happen. God will move when the church prays. You know, sometimes I think the church does its best work on its knees. When we go before God and we humble ourselves, we take every little thing off the table that has to do with me, that has to do with how well I'm getting along or how well I don't get along with somebody, or who I've got an attitude with, or who has an attitude with me, or whether I'm fussing with my wife, or whether my kids are out of line. When I throw all that stuff off the table and I get down on my knees before God Almighty and go, "Lord, we need you," God will move. God will honor those kind of prayers. But he wants us to get to a point to where we have to cry out to him, but he wants us to do it together. He wants us together, united and focused in prayer. That's why we're starting a service on Sunday nights. Come and pray. Come and pray. And I'm going to challenge you to come and pray. And then let's see how God answers those prayers in the future. Did you know that prayer is one of few spiritual weapons that we have to fight against the devil? The devil knows what's in here. He ain't afraid of this. It's just a book. If he can convince you that this is just a book, it's just a bunch of wise sayings and just a bunch of knowledge, and it don't matter whether you apply it to your life or not, the devil ain't afraid of this. There's only one thing in this entire universe that the devil's afraid of, and that's God himself. Through prayer, we move the hand of God. Through prayer, we combat the things of the devil. Through prayer, it says Christ told the disciples when they could not cast out a demon out of a guy, what did Christ tell them? This one can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. I'm going to tell you, church, without prayer, we don't have a prayer. And I don't say that to be flip or to be smart alecky. But without prayer, we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance of God blessing us unless we pray and we ask him for it. We don't have a chance of making things right within these walls unless we pray, "Lord, fix this. fix me. Without prayer, until we pick up a mirror, like you ladies use to put on your makeup or do your hair, until we pick up that mirror and we look at the person in the mirror and go, you're the problem. You're the problem. You, meaning me, meaning yourself. We are the problem that keeps God from working in here. I'm the problem. You're the problem. We're all the problem because of our behavior and our attitudes. And it all comes back to, as we talked about in our Sunday school class, we live in a fallen world. It's because of sin, the influence of sin, because we are, that's why we are the way we are. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we got a way out of it. And that way was on the cross. Jesus opened the door for all of us. Jews, Gentiles, Muslims. Oh yeah, Muslims can convert. Hindus, Buddhists, pagans, heathens, agnostics, atheists. Jesus died on the cross for all of them. But all we have to do, all they have to do, is cry out to Him. And some of our most effective prayers are cries. You look at some of the Old Testament, do some word studies in the Old Testament about crying, about praying. It's the Hebrew word for cry. When you get to the end of your rope and you want to let go, it's like, Lord, save me. What did Peter say when he was walking across the water? And he took his focus off of Jesus Christ. Shortest prayer in the Bible. Two words, save me. Prayer. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, prayer. Praying habitually, persevering in prayer. When you got to know that person that you love more than anybody, how much time did you spend with them? Were you with them every day? Were you with them 3, 4, 5 times a day? Did you call them once a month? How do you expect to get to know somebody if you only talk to them once a month? Or if you only talk to them on Sundays? How do you expect to get to know God if you don't pray? God's made this way, this line of communication for us to pray habitually. Paul wrote to the church in Romans. He says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. And then he says, be constant in prayer. And I don't mean you walk around with your eyes closed and your head bowed and it's going, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, all day long. But have a heart attitude that you take to Him everything. Big things, little things. And you know what? God doesn't care if you wear white socks or black socks or even if your socks are mismatched. But what God does care about is when you get up in the morning, do you put on that coat of anger or that coat of bitterness and then you walk out into the world as a Christian and you have a bitter heart? That's what God cares about. God cares about how His people act when they go outside the... Sometimes I get aggravated with people and I will be honest and tell you that I have more patience and more grace for lost people than I do for Christians who know how they're supposed to act. And here's why. Lost people are going to act like lost people. Think back to when, before you were a Christian, if you were in the world very long before you accepted Christ, how did you act? How did you behave? I can tell you how I behaved, and I'm not doing it to glorify the things that I did. But I sure didn't act like a Christian. But I will tell you, before I was a Christian, I thought I knew how Christians were supposed to behave. And how many Christians did I see out there that did not behave like they should have? Be in prayer, constantly in prayer. Paul wrote the church in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The friendship we can have with God, and yes, I'm using that word deliberately, the friendship we can have with God can only come through prayer. You say, well, friends, we can't, I mean, how can I be friends with God? God made me. God created, God can destroy me. How can I be friends with Him? I'm going to tell you, look in Exodus. God spoke to Abraham, or spoke to Moses as a friend. It's Exodus 33:11 if you want to write it down and check me on it. Abraham was called a friend of God. James 2:23, I'm sorry. And Jesus in John 15:44. Jesus calls us His friends when we obey what He... So yes, we can have a friendship with God Almighty. And it grows when we pray. Do you think Daniel had a friendship with God? If you read the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. The habit of prayer tells God that you, God, matter to me. You matter to me so much that I'm going to dedicate time in my day to pray to you. It says that, God, I value our time together, that you mean more to me than just Sunday service, that you mean more to me than just being, I'm going to say thank you for providing for my food. Not that prayer here isn't a bad thing, because it's not. It's a great thing. Not blessing your food before you eat is a good thing. It demonstrates a heart of gratitude. We should be grateful for the things that He provides us. But in our time of prayer, God is using that time to transform us, to reveal to us the things in our life that are junk, that are garbage, that we need to cast off, that we need to get rid of. Maybe it's loneliness. Lord, take away my loneliness. I'm going through a trial, and I just don't know what else to do. I don't know who to call to. And God says, I'm always with you. Sometimes those things that happen in our lives, God is driving us or pulling us back to Him. When we get to a point in our prayers when all we can do is cry out and go, I need, God's got us right where He wants us, because then He can do something with us. Then He can transform us into somebody who, when we go out there, we look like Christ. In prayer, we can maybe draw close enough to God to hear His heartbeat, if God had a heartbeat. And when that thought came to me a couple days ago when I was putting this together, I thought of John, the disciple John. And you hear occasionally about John when he rested his head on Jesus' chest, on Jesus' breast. Could you imagine if John heard the heartbeat of Jesus Christ? In prayer, we get to know God so intimately that we can almost hear His heart. We know, can learn what He wants from us. In time in prayer, our prayer strengthens our faith. It's an investment. I don't know what your return is on your IRA or your retirement funds or your stocks or your bonds. What better investment could you make than time with God? If you think of prayer as money, where would you put that money? Where would you put your prayers? You put them with Him. I can't think of anything but to invest my time in. Couple more points and I'll move on real quickly. Pray honestly. Talked about this. Praying with a sincere heart. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Jehovah will not hear. God won't hear. Paul wrote to Timothy, because Timothy was a pastor and Timothy had several different churches, and those churches, like every church, had problems. They had people that didn't get along. Oh no, not back then. Their church was perfect, right? Paul wrote to him, therefore I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. How often do our doubts creep in when we pray? We get distracted. Doesn't happen to you. It happens to me all the time. I try to find someplace quiet. Every little creak in the house I hear. I go sit in the park. Every dog that barks. Every mom that yells at her kid, I hear. What's in our hearts that keep us from God being able to respond? James tells us in 4:3, says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You ask wrongly. You ask that you may spend these things upon your own lusts. You ask for things. Lord, I need a car. I need transportation. You don't pray, Lord, I need transportation. Lord, I need an Escalade. Lord, I need that new Cadillac. You need transportation. You pray for a Cadillac. You know what? God's going to give you a bicycle. What? You need transportation. We ask amiss, and that's why we don't have. But I think the honesty part, we first have to look inside ourselves and find out if we're asking for the wrong things. Or are we asking for the right things with the wrong motives? Or flat out, are we just asking for things that are contrary to God's will? Lord, I like my wife, but I love my neighbor's wife better. Would you let me have a divorce so that I can marry my neighbor's wife? Wrong, wrong, wrong. You have not because you ask amiss. Well, maybe you're not supposed to have some of the things you're asking for. Praying's easy, right? But it takes hard work. It does take hard work. God's as close as our prayers. Crying out's easy. Being honest with each other, being honest with ourselves is the hard part. As I said, we pick up that mirror. But God is so close to us. Lord is near all who call upon Him, all who call on Him. And there it comes again. In truth, are we being honest with God? He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. Fear in the Old Testament means that, do I trust Him? There's it's two words, reverential trust, reverence. We all kind of know what reverence means. Do I come to God knowing that I trust Him, that He is the God of the universe, but He's also my Heavenly Father who loves me? And yes, I am afraid of Him. I don't want to make Him mad. I didn't want to make my earthly father mad. Not because my father was a wrathful person, but because I knew I would disappoint my dad. When we pray, are we afraid of disappointing? Your mileage may be. It's hard work. It's transforming work. It takes effort. It does take effort. But like anybody who starts out as a casual walker, you start walking today, I'll walk, you know, around the block today, and then tomorrow I'm going to run in an Olympic marathon. It don't work that way. I have to work up to start slow. Ooh, I'm having so much trouble with it. Start slow. Simple prayers. Sing your favorite worship song. Pray. Sing another song. Pray some more. Pray with a friend. Pray with your spouse. You want to do something for your marriage? You want to do something for marriage? Pray with your spouse. Don't worry about the pretty words. The Holy Spirit takes them all before God and sorts them out and puts them in a way that, you know, it's just everything seems to fall into place. So I want to move on to the last topic, and I want to talk about listening in prayer. Any of y'all know what that is? Radio receivers. Out in the high desert in New Mexico, and this is a NASA picture. NASA built this huge array of antennas, and each one of these antennas is, I think there's 27 of them, and each one of them is a little over 80 feet in diameter. And when they're all spread out there in this high desert plateau, they'll span 23 miles. NASA built an ear, this huge electronic ear, to listen to the universe.
ET phone home.
They're listening. Scientists are listening for sounds of the universe. In prayer, are we listening? The voice of the universe. Listening in. God speaks. God wants to answer our prayers. God wants to speak to us. But it's not natural for us to listen in prayers because, you know, when Christ taught the disciples to pray, the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer, he gave you this little formula to pray through. It's not natural for us to listen. And we have to practice listening. We have to get to that quiet place to where when we pray, we don't cut God off. We just sit in the stillness. And maybe we say to God, I'm listening. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your voice. Speak to me. Tell me what you have for me. It takes focus. We have to get away from the daily circumstances, from the distractions, from the noise, from the stereo, from the cell phone, from the TV, from the kids, from the internet. We have to find that place that Jesus went to called still. I never thought about still as being a place till I went over to Springfield. Don Follis had an overnight deal for pastors to find that place of solitude and hear God's voice, to where you listen to God's voice. And he gave us some techniques to practice. And it has to do with, you know, some reading some scripture, some meditating, and then finding that place where you can sit and be still, listen to the voice of God. And this is only possible through prayer. Jesus said, the sheep know my voice. Hear me, know my voice. Can we hear the shepherd's voice? Are we even asking to speak to us? Or are we just going to him with a laundry list of wants and needs, and then we say, amen, in Jesus' name, hang up the phone. I will tell you that this doesn't even scratch the surface of what the Bible says about prayer. If you've got a concordance in the back of your Bible, look up the and start writing down verses and go look them. I will challenge you that there probably are hundreds and hundreds. Study it out for yourself. Find your own prayer closet. Find your own place to do battle. A movie called The War Room just came out last year, a couple years. All about prayer. We need to be a praying church. I encourage you all to pray about praying. Makes sense, does it? Lord, my prayer life stinks. Help me make it better. Pray about praying. Let's close. Father in heaven, Lord, there's just so much in your word about prayer, about our lines of communication with you. Lord, we can be fighting a battle and we know that we can say a prayer and you'll be there to help. Lord, when we're going through hard times, we know that you're as close as our prayers. Father, when we're anxious and upset and have issues in our heart, we know that those things keep us from being effective in our prayers. Lord, just show us what you want us to do with this message. And Lord, I pray that the people here understand that this is just as much for me as it is for them, because my prayer life is not where it needs to be. So, Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience with us. Father, honor our prayers. Speak to us this week. Speak to us this day. Lead us and guide us.